Many of us are so busy at the moment, trying to keep busy during this lockdown season, and for a very good reason. We know that keeping occupied is good for our physical and our mental and our spiritual well-being. So our cupboards have never looked tidier, our houses have never been cleaner, and our gardens have never been so under control. I had to smile the other day when a friend told me she'd even hoovered her balcony. But my question this morning is, are we rested in this crisis season as well? I'm not talking about whether we're taking enough breaks in the day or whether we're getting enough sleep. I'm talking about what the writer to the Hebrews calls God's rest. A deep and a profound internal peace despite what's going on around us at this time. Do we believe that our relationship with Jesus makes that difference? Sean's going to read some verses from both Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, which invites us to live in God's rest and warns against losing it.
Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is a compilation of verses from Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. My friends, God has chosen you to be his holy people. So think about Jesus, the one we call our apostle and high priest. Jesus was faithful to God, who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in serving all of God's people. But Jesus deserves more honour than Moses. Moses was a faithful servant and told God's people what would be said in the future. But Christ is the Son in charge of God's people, and we are those people, if we keep on being brave and don't lose hope. My friends, watch out. Don't let evil thoughts or doubts make any of you turn from the living God. You must encourage one another each day, and you must keep on while there is a time that can be called today. If you don't, then sin may fool some of you and make you stubborn. We were sure about Christ when we first became his people, so let's hold tightly to our faith until the end. Scripture says, if you hear his voice today, don't be stubborn like those who rebelled. Who were those people that heard God's voice and rebelled? Weren't they the ones that came out of Egypt with Moses? Who were the people that made angry for 40 years? Weren't they the ones that sinned and died in the desert? And who did God say would never enter his place of rest? Weren't they the ones that disobeyed him? We see that those people did not enter the place of rest because they did not have faith. The promise to enter the place of rest is still good, and we must take care that none of you miss out. We've heard the message just as they did, but they failed to believe what they heard, and the message did not do them any good. Only people who have faith will enter the place of rest. We should do our best to enter the place of rest, so that none of us will disobey and miss out going there, as they did. May we listen to this word of God and learn from it today.
Our need for rest is found in God himself. The Bible starts with how God creates the world, and having reviewed what he's done, he declares it good, and then God rests. Right at the very beginning of the Bible, God models a way of life which he invites us to follow, a balance between activity and rest. And of course, right at the beginning, this was free from the chaos and the disorder that's brought about by sin and rebellion. So let's fast forward to the book of Exodus, where we find the story of God's people being rescued from slavery, and we read of them being led into the desert on their way to the promised land. It was at Mount Sinai that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and one of these was to observe a Sabbath day. God tells them they need to take a break once a week and they need to spend this time worshipping him. They need to be still, they need to refocus on their rescuer and their provider and their protector so that they can grow a deep and trusting relationship with him. God wanted them to enjoy him But every time life got difficult, they just complained to Moses about God. And one day the pressure became so great for Moses, he snapped. He lost his temper. And it was at this point that God said that generation, including Moses, wouldn't see the promised land. But the promise of God's rest didn't go away. Joshua led the next generation into the promised land. But over time, the concept of Sabbath being about building relationship with God, this became skewed. So we skip forward several centuries to the Jews in Jesus' time, and the Sabbath had more rules and regulations attached to it than the shielding letters some of you've received. There were so many things that God's people couldn't do, it's a wonder that they even got out of bed. Even Jesus' disciples were accused of breaking the Sabbath law because they picked grain and ate it as they walked through a field on the Sabbath. And so Jesus used this as a moment to help the religious leaders reassess the point and the purpose of Sabbath rest. He reminds them that God didn't create the Sabbath for his benefit, but for ours. Sabbath is a gift from God. It's given to us to help us love him and each other. You know, just as my phone needs recharging at least once a day to protect it from running out of battery, we need to be plugged into God regularly to protect us from activity dominating our lives. To avoid work overload and burnout stress, we need refreshing rest to help us refocus and refuel. But entering into God's rest isn't only about taking time out to worship God. It's also about the way we do life, everyday life, with him. One of my very favourite verses in the New Testament is found in Matthew's Gospel, and I love the way it's phrased in the Message version of the Bible. It goes like this: "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And this is the kind of rest that the writer to the Hebrews was inviting his original audience to enjoy. Even though life for them on the outside was precarious, he tells them life on the inside can be secure because of their relationship with Jesus. And it's as true for us as it was for them. Whether we're relaxing on the sofa or in the thick of activity, we can be in God's rest because it's not so affected by what we do or don't do, but how we think about God and how we understand what Jesus has done for us. God's rest is about that internal peace which calms our fears and our anxieties, and it gives us a sense of stability, which means that whatever's going on, we can face the future with confidence, even if we're in a difficult or a stressful or a challenging season. The writer to the Hebrews reminds his original audience to avoid the kind of thinking which cost that past generation from experiencing God's rest. He warns them against becoming hard-hearted, critical and complaining, because, he says, that steals our inner peace. He says, don't forget who God is. And I wonder whether we lose out on God's rest because we forget who he is. Here's the thing: God is for us and not against us. God is on our side no matter what is going on. And the writer of this letter reminds us, as he did them, when we forget what God is like, we just need to take a hard, good look at Jesus. In the Message version of the Bible, Jesus is described as the centerpiece of all that we believe in and faithful in everything God gave him to do. So the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, hold on to your salvation. Yes, for God's rest in heaven, but also for rest in our present day. When a salvage company reclaims a wrecked car, they take possession of it, they change it substantially, and they repurpose it. And this is what Jesus has done for anyone who believes in him. Salvation is so much more than just being forgiven for our sins. Yes, of course, salvation includes God cleaning the slate as far as our past lives are concerned and offering forgiveness and giving us a fresh start. But it doesn't stop there. When we invite Jesus into our lives, that's just the beginning of what it means for him to take possession of our lives. From the very moment when he takes up residence within us, he starts to change us substantially and he starts to repurpose our lives. And I wonder how many of us struggle to enter into that profound peace called God's rest simply because we don't understand what transforming salvation means. It's tragic to think that Jesus paid the price for our sins, that he suffered to make that sacrifice for us, and yet, all too often, Christians struggle just to get by and make it through each day. I think one of the key reasons for our struggles is that we just don't feel secure in our faith. For us to grow in any relationship, we need to feel safe. We post things on Facebook because we need to know we're loved. We tiptoe around delicate people for fear of upsetting them. We avoid expressing our opinion in case it's taken the wrong way. We boast of our achievements because deep down we don't believe we measure up. We spend so much time trying to prove ourselves in our human relationships. And I wonder, don't we also sometimes do this with God? We try so hard to make him love us. We try so hard to win his favour. And when things don't go the way we expect or we hoped they might, there's a danger that we'll either become hard-hearted and critical and grumbling and complaining like those Israelites, or we try even harder to win him round. And how exhausting is it to live life like that? All that lost peace because we don't recognise the security we have in Jesus. And this security is what the Holy Spirit brings. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit seals our salvation. After we come to faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit locks the door behind us. Just as Noah locked the door of the ark to save the remnant of life from the flood, the Holy Spirit locks the door of our saving ship. And our saving ship is our relationship with Jesus. My prayer for each of us this morning, if you question whether God is for you and not against you, if you doubt whether God is on your side, my prayer is that you will hear an audible sound of the Holy Spirit sealing your salvation, because then you can enter into God's rest. My own relationship with Jesus changed the day I sat upstairs on my bed and I just told him I hadn't got any more to give him. I was broken. I was so tired of trying to do the right thing. I hadn't got the capacity anymore to be the kind of Christian I thought I should be. I wept because I'd come to the end of my own resources. I couldn't keep on striving and working any longer to win his favour. And it's as though his response was simply the words, "At last," as he flooded my heart with his presence and love. You see, our salvation has nothing to do with how hard we try, and it has everything to do with what Jesus has already done and what the Holy Spirit has secured. And all we need to do is to grasp hold of that and hang on to Him. It's then we can experience freedom from having to measure up. It's then we can experience freedom from that crippling pressure to having to prove ourselves. It's then we can experience an inner assurance even when things around us are going pear-shaped. We can even feel forgiven when we mess up. We can all enter into God's rest. And we can all live in His peace by trusting in our salvation and intentionally living in it. And so my question this morning is quite simply this: are you rested today in His truth and in His securing love? Are you rested in your relationship with Jesus?